Conservationist view of mining plans for $8 Mountain. It's in the Illinois Valley, and it has features that are unlike just about anywhere else. On the one hand, it contains some potentially valuable minerals. On the other hand, it's home to some rare plants that grow only there. So the plant defenders, including members of the Siskiyou chapter of the Native Plant Society of Oregon, are concerned about the recently announced mining claims covering much of $8 Mountain's west side. Christy Megenthaler is a stewardship director with Southern Oregon Land Conservancy and leads the stewardship team in monitoring conservation easements and caring for preserves. And Dave Garcia is a member of the Native Plant Society of Oregon, who recently wrote a letter to the editor in the Daily Courier in Grants Pass, and they're here to share some of their feelings about that. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, let's start a little bit about some of the concerns. I'd like to know a little bit more about the native plants that are unique to that region, if you could speak to that. Is that you?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chrissy.
I'll start. So I want to zoom out a little bit. We know that the Klamath siskiyous in southwest Oregon and northwest California are biological hotspots for plant diversity on the planet for temperate regions. Going further into southwest Oregon, southwest Oregon has more rare plants per area within the greater California floristic province as a subregion. And then zooming into the Illinois Valley, this valley in Josephine County has more rare plants than any other river valley in Oregon. Now, $8 Mountain is the sizzling hotspot of rare plant biodiversity within all of these other hotspots. The western end of $8 Mountain is a botanical area managed by the U.S. Forest Service. Parts of the eastern part of $8 Mountain are areas of critical environmental concern managed by the BLM. The entire mountain is a natural heritage site. And Southern Oregon Land Conservancy, we have a preserve on the eastern part of the mountain. The two main habitats you find rare plants on $8 Mountain are Jeffrey Pine Savanna, and some of the rare plants, and there are many, include Howe's Mariposa Lily. It's listed as threatened in the state of Oregon. It's a species of concern. It's only found in the Illinois Valley, and it's a beautiful white lily that glows like a lantern in the forest. And in the fens, the cobra lily fens, they're chock full of rare and incredible vibrant flowers, like the large flowered rush lily that is only known in the Illinois Valley and is also listed for the state as threatened. But other plants in there are Waldo gentians, indigo, beautiful flowers, Oregon willow herb, California lady slipper, and of course, the charismatic cobra lily, the insectivorous plant known in the fens on $8 Mountain.
Christy, we know that in many places in Oregon, the west side of a mountain has a different climatology than the east side. And as a result of that, different things grow. Do you see that as well with $8 Mountain?
Well, absolutely. Southern facing, west facing, rocky versus wet versus north facing. Yeah, there's definitely a diversity of habitats, even on $8 Mountain.
Dave, let's bring you in here and let me ask about this mining claim. You're kind of dialed into that, and let us know where your standpoint is at this moment.
Yeah, well, first of all, you've kind of set it up as conservationists against the mining. And, you know, conservation is like one of the things I value, but I'm a father, a grandfather. I'm a retired high school biology teacher. You know, I've lived in the Rogue Valley since 1974. So my concern is that this is just such a unique area that so many of us enjoy. I mean, a couple years ago, I went with my grandson's elementary school, and they went on a field trip out to the botanical area there. So it's valid for a lot of reasons. The mining claims are, let's see, they have 115 claims on west side of $8 Mountain for 2,376 acres. So to put that in perspective, all these a lot of those claims are just all right next to each other. Each claim's about 20 acres. Mm-hmm. So if we're looking at what that would look like, it would be 1,800 football fields is what it looked like on the land. And for those of you who know about township and range and sections, we're talking about four sections of land there on the west side of $8 Mountain. So that's the scope of it. And would you like me to talk about how they mine it at this point?
Well, I spoke a little bit with Steve Balsh, the head of Spruce Ridge Resources previous, and I asked him a question that I want to ask you as well. Do you feel that there's a possibility that conservationists and the mining industry can coexist on that west side of the mountain?
Well, you know, I listened to that interview, and he talked about the history of mining and how, like, it's different now, and they don't want to do this, and they're concerned. But if you look at how they mine nickel laterite, it is what they do. It's a surface mine. So first of all, they have to strip all the vegetation, all the trees, all the plants. They take those out and put into a pile somewhere. They call it the dump pile. And then they have to strip all the soil, which they also put in the big pile. And then there's like the overburden rock that isn't the nickel laterite rock that they have to strip away. So after they've stripped that all away, then they start drilling and doing, you know, blowing up, you know, the rock, mm-hmm. and then bring in big bulldozers and movers and take the rock out. And then they have to process it there because it's just too expensive to take the rock somewhere else to process the ore. So then they do a whole process of extracting the nickel from the ore, from the rock. And that involves what they have to do is they have to grind up all that rock. And they use like what's called a ball mill. They grind it up into a pulp so they can put water, and then they do a high pressure acid leach where they use sulfuric acid or nitric acid to leach the nickel out of the rock. Again, massive amounts of water, massive amounts of material. And then what they don't get out of that, they have a tailings pond where they pump all the water that comes out of this, and that sits. And we've all seen, like, well, hopefully over the years, you've seen how things happen in these settling ponds and how that leaches out into waterways and whatnot. So mm-hmm. it's a nasty, nasty process. And like, I appreciate that he has, you know, a concern about how the history of mining was, but that's the way it is. And I don't see anything that he said or anything that I've researched, you know, in looking at this, that it's going to be different today. It's just going to be a big, huge strip pit mine, and that's how they do it.
Christy, let me ask what kind of impact that would have on rare plants on $8 Mountain.
The rare plants and endemic plants found nowhere else in the world are of limited distribution. They have really small population sizes. They're really sensitive to disturbance. Add mining, and they're extremely vulnerable to extinction. These fens and these rare plants also support other wildlife. There is a rare dragonfly, the black petal-tailed dragonfly, that specializes on fens. A recently described butterfly likes the fens at $8 Mountain, the Siskiyou coronis. Mining on $8 Mountain, which is a natural heritage. The plants are our natural heritage. The wildlife there are our legacy. It's part of why our region is special. Mining and the rare plants just don't go together at $8 Mountain. I also want to remind listeners that adjacent to $8 Mountain is the wild and scenic Illinois River.
So for much of this area, I know that there have been hiking trails in there and different groups that own parts of the mountain, both privately and, of course, the government. As we mentioned, there's the Forest Service, there's the BLM. I was going to ask Dave, is there some kind of formal opposition to this process? And I'm talking probably legal opposition that would go into effect that you envision.
Well, not any. Well, there are some groups over the years. There's the local KS Wild environmental organization. There's Friends of the Calmeopsis that folks have been aware of this issue for a while, and I think they're doing their best. I mean, the thing really is like, if you look at the Forest Service and their document about it, they start off, the very first sentence is, $8 Mountain is one of the most significant botanical sites in Oregon. And the federal government, is the mining industry historically has had carte blanche because, we need the resource. But they also are able to, the federal government is able to take certain areas out of the mining area where people can't do claims. And I just do not understand why the Forest Service didn't take this area out of it. So I think that as far as any legal things, I mean, that's a huge question, is why were they negligent in removing this area from mining?
I have a question that is probably difficult to answer, and this question has been asked many, many times in different situations over the years. How do we weigh the need, stepping aside from $8 Mountain for a moment, how do we weigh the need for something like nickel, which is important to batteries and the development of electric cars and that kind of thing, which in some respects, I know is a mixed bag, can be good for the environment, but disposing of the batteries is bad. How do we weigh that with conservation issues? It seems to be the perpetual question, and how do we come back to $8 Mountain and look at that? If either one of you have some thoughts on that.
Well, I'll just say first, it's always a trade-off. I mean, there's always different things we need and different things we want to preserve, and we somehow have to find some way to to logically be able to take care of both needs. That's all I have to say.
How about you, Christy?
Well, I agree with Dave. I want to encourage folks to explore $8 Mountain. Just off the Redwood Highway, there's the T.J. Howell Botanical Drive. Driving on $8 Mountain Road, just a mile from the highway, you can visit a fin, the T.J. Howell fin, on a boardwalk, and there's trails nearby. It's exceptionally beautiful and special. And on May 22nd, the Native Plant Society will actually have a free hike to $8 Mountain Preserve, and people can register on Eventbrite. And I also want to encourage folks to tell their representatives to support the Southwestern Oregon Watershed and Salmon Protection Act, which includes removing some of mining in Josephine and Curry County permanently, including places like Rough and Ready Creek and $8 Mountain.
You mentioned the hiking trails. Are some of them easier than others? Is it accessible for people with any kind of physical challenges?
Yes, there's all kinds of options. Everything from hiking in the Calumniopsis Wilderness to driving up to a boardwalk that is completely accessible, so folks can visit a really large cobra lily fen.
Now, this company, Spruce Ridge, has developments as well, Cleopatra and Red Flat. Dave, could you give a quick assessment on what you think about those and what's happening there?
I think that Mr. Bosch said it was in Curry County. It's actually in Josephine County and Jackson County. And again, two of them are kind of old established mines that have been dormant for years, and they want to redo. And I don't know. It's the same thing. You have to look at the needs for nickel and, what the cost is going to be to local people who live in the area as far as air pollution, water pollution, and et cetera. It's just, again, everything like that, it's going to have an environmental impact, needs to really be looked at with good science and a lot of citizen involvement.
We have been speaking this morning with Dave Garcia, who is a member of the Native Plant Society, and also Mergenthaler, who is the Stewardship Director of the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy. Christy and Dave, thank you so much for sharing your time this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.